Randy, you talk also about some of the responses that people have to the problems of evil and all of this. And, you know, they, you know, some people say there must not be a God, or God has limited goodness, or God has limited knowledge. Could you just expound briefly on those things, on and one or all of them, whatever you want to do there? But, you know, and these are human responses, obviously, you know, because we're trying to make sense of everything. But what would you say if somebody said, you know, well, there must not be a God, or if he must have limited goodness, or he doesn't know everything? What would you say to those things?
Yeah, I would just say we always, as human beings, attempt to explain from our finite perspective. And so when it comes to God, we go, well, I mean, because my brain is the final court of judgment, right? And so in my brain, if God was all good and God was all knowing and God was all powerful, then he simply would not allow these things to happen. These things clearly are allowed to happen. So as you say, if there was a God, then he must be limited in his love. And so now we're going to limit God's love. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believes in it, he went to the cross for us. I mean, if you're talking limited love with God, there's something wrong. I mean, mm-hmm. like the nail prints in the hands that we're going to see for eternity will declare this God of incredible love and grace. Or are we going to limit his knowledge, which is what open theism does? And I deal with open theism in the book, where it's like, okay, this is really supposed to help people now, because they go, well, God didn't know this terrible thing was going to happen mm-hmm. to your child.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so isn't that a great comfort? And one of the guys who writes books on this says, so I explained this to a woman that God didn't know in advance this was going to happen to your child. And she broke down in tears, and it helped her so much, because now she felt like, I can't blame God for this. He didn't know. Oh, this poor, helpless God who didn't know. Mm-hmm. And now we can feel sorry for him and not resent him. And this is not God anymore. This is right. not the God of the Bible. Right. Or he's limited in his power. Okay, God has given the human race free choice, which means really his hands are tied. Mm-hmm. No, our limited choice, rather than free choice, the term that I like to use is meaningful human choice. And in one of my books, this one, Hand in Hand, I deal with the problem of the free will sovereignty problem. Well, it's a problem, but the point is you can't solve the problem by reducing the power, the love, the wisdom, the knowledge, the sovereignty of God. If you do that, you don't have the God of the Bible anymore. He has disappeared. And you may feel like, oh, well, this makes me feel better, which, by the way, it doesn't make me feel better at all to think with the bad things that have happened in my life, where I get a moment's consolation to believe that God didn't know that was going to happen or that somehow God's hands were tied. Right. On the contrary.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Spurgeon said, and I'm pretty old, I didn't personally know Charles Spurgeon, but, you know, Spurgeon said, when people tell me that I should take comfort in the fact that God was either unaware of, or because of human free choice, he couldn't do anything to stop that man who committed the rape, who murdered a loved one, all this, and that somehow the physical ailments, and Spurgeon had extensive physical sufferings, gout and many, many other things, and extremely painful. And he sometimes could not get up in the pulpit and had to sit down and just couldn't make it through life without getting away sometimes from his preaching. And he said, if I thought God's hand was not in my suffering, I would lose hope completely. And in other words, in your time of crisis, if right now I didn't believe that God was fully sovereign over my wife's stage 4 cancer that we have been praying for 3.5 years, that he would heal her completely. That's our prayer every night, every day. if I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God and that regardless of whether he takes her sooner or later, we know she's going to die. I'm going to die. Our children are going to die. Our grandchildren are going to die. Everybody's going to die unless Christ returns in our lifetime, which so far you may have noticed he never has returned in anyone's lifetime. He may and he may not. But to say that I am laying claim to a healing because somehow I just can wrest this, rest with a W-R-E, you know, out of the hands of God and just make God do this thing and take verses out of context. You know, he doesn't promise we will never die. He promises we will die. Right. If I didn't believe in the sovereignty of God in my wife's illness, I'd lose hope. I might become one of those ex-evangelicals. I might become one of those people who doesn't trust God anymore. I do trust him. I trust him more today than I have ever trusted him. With all the evil and suffering I have seen in the world, I trust him more now than I ever have.